We just heard proclaimed the reason that we are here tonight. It's the heart of our faith as Christians, as Catholics, the victory of the Lord over death. And it was on this night that the Father raised his Son from the dead. And it's that reality, his victory over sin and death, that he invites us into to be made sharers in it. It's for that reason that the church rejoices with such great joy around the world on this night. Looking at the gospel and pulling just a few things out to open up his word and to draw us in to an area where I think the Lord wants us to hear and respond to him tonight. We're told that when the Sabbath was over, the women came to the tomb very early in the morning, just as the sun was rising. And they were saying to one another, as they've already prepared the spices, they've already made their way there, they're at the tomb, and then they say to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And you might think, kind of logically, why did they not ask that question the night before when they were getting their plan together? Why, before they went out to the shops as soon as the Sabbath had finished to buy the spices, to anoint his body and the oil, why did they not ask that question then? It's a very logical question. The stone is huge. One doesn't simply just kind of move it out of the way as you would open a door. But the beautiful thing here is that these women, they're led by their love for the Lord, that is a love that goes just beyond reason. It's not unreasonable, but it goes beyond reason. It's a love that leaves room for the Lord to do something. The women are responding to a love beyond reason that they first received from him. These women here, whom the Gospels tell us, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Salome, each one of them in their own way had experienced the profound love of Jesus and knew him to be the Messiah. And here, they're responding to that love that they received from him. And this is the way that our relationship with him is meant to work. They're led by love. And so it's only when they get there, they ask the question, "Who's going to roll back the stone for us?" But when they arrived, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And Mark tells us it was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. The stone is rolled back. They see an angel inside the tomb, clothed in white, sitting at the right side. And understandably, the women were utterly amazed. They had no reason to expect that the stone would have been rolled away, let alone that they would have a vision of this young man clothed in white, the imagery that the scriptures use for an angelic being. And so St. Mark tells us they were utterly amazed. Well, we probably could have figured that part out. But then the angel says to the women, "Do not be amazed. Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified." So he lets them know, what you saw on Good Friday really happened. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one who had been crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. That's the Easter proclamation. That's the heart of it. But the angel says to the women, "Don't be amazed." This is so awesome. The Lord wants us, all of us, these women, us included, to have such a faith in that love that he has for us, that it's a love that goes beyond reason, that arriving at the tomb and seeing the stone rolled back and seeing that the body isn't there, that in that we would not be amazed. The Lord is saying to us, I want you to trust me and have a faith in me and the power of my love to do such great things. I want you to expect that in faith so much that you will not be amazed when you see something miraculous. I love that the Lord calls us to that kind of faith. He doesn't want us to be timid in our faith. Knowing the love that he has for us, the Lord says, be bold in expecting my love to do miraculous and amazing things for you. Do not be amazed. And then the angel says, behold the place where they laid him. The women are told by the angel to confirm with their own eyes the reality of the empty tomb. Confirm it, make it your own. Come in, see it. Enter into this great mystery, but believe it, not just from the outside, but make it your own. And that line, behold the place where they laid him, it's the invitation to share in this amazing proclamation the angel makes, to experience it. That invitation is exactly what every single Christian throughout history has been invited to do. To hear the reality that he has been raised, but the Lord says, don't just hear it as a fact for your head, but behold the place where they laid him. Enter into it. Check it out. Make it your own. And that line that invites the women physically into the tomb invites you and I into the reality of it. Lord, I want to know in my life that you have in fact been raised. I want to experience in my life the power of your resurrection. I need to experience and know your victory over sin because I am a sinner and I need mercy. That's the invitation. And it's that over the centuries, the reality of that and the Lord responding to it, that has allowed over the centuries this proclamation of the resurrection to reach the ends of the earth and to continue to draw men and women, young and old, to the Lord Jesus. It's the personal experience, the reality of his resurrection that each of us gets to experience, each in our own way. Tonight we have the blessing of baptizing 15, young and old, of then confirming, pouring out, having the Lord pour out on those and many other of our adults and our youth, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Each of you has experienced the Lord at work in your life in some way that has led you here. And hopefully going forward, any member of our parish family could say to you, when you heard the Lord say to you, behold the empty tomb, come into it, experience it, make it real. Hopefully each one of you would be able to say, this is what he did in my life that has allowed me to know that he is risen from the dead. There shouldn't be a Christian in the world that cannot put to words how he or she has experienced the reality of his risen life. It's the invitation. Behold the place where they laid him. Just make it your own. That making it our own requires that we enter into the mystery of the Lord's passion and death and resurrection. So we heard that in the epistle reading tonight from St. Paul to the Romans. But listen to Paul elsewhere when he writes to the Philippians. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That captures the invitation. Lord, we want to know the power of your resurrection. But the Lord tells us himself and through Paul powerfully, I want that for you too. But it requires being with me in your sufferings and struggles, uniting that with me, all the way down into whatever death that feels like it brings you, in order then that I might raise you up. That mystery, that Paschal mystery, that's where the power of this night comes from. But to fully experience all of the power of the Lord's resurrection, it does require that you and I be willing to give our life over to him in such a way that we let him get into the areas of pain and suffering and trauma and sin, into those places where we feel like perhaps we have died with him, but to let him into that in such a way that he can then raise us up. That's what Paul is praying for himself, and it's our prayer. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's the Christian life right there. Most of us, all of us really, I think I can say that confidently, in the midst of the pain that we experience, what we want to do is we want to go immediately over to the resurrection. The Lord endures the torment and the pain all the way down into death and the tomb, and then is raised up by the Father. That Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection, that's the heart of everything we celebrate. But the Lord says, enter into that with me. But most of us, the pain is so great that we're like, Lord, I don't want to go down deep into it. And I don't want to let you into that. So can I just skip from just the first initial pain over just to the joy of Easter? But the Paschal mystery, the Christian life, doesn't work that way. Let me give you just a couple examples here. Imagine that you're a toddler and you're in the kitchen and your mom is there cooking and you're running your hand up along the counter and you're going down, and just for a moment your mom looks away and you keep going and your hand hits a red hot stove. And in that moment when all of the pain of that stove that you were not looking for at all, when it shoots through you, and that pain sears, and all of that begins to play out in you, and there's a desperate desire for relief of that, what goes through your head as a toddler is, I am never going near that again. I will never go near that again. Unconsciously, that little child makes a little vow in that moment, I'm not going there again. And moms and dads, you know the way that it works. Where the pain's experienced, your children push back from that. Well, we do that, but painful things happen throughout the whole of our life that we often don't want to go back and revisit. Let me share another example just from one who works in the realm of Christian counseling and healing. Listen to this. She writes this. You're in third grade, and you are innocently and unselfconsciously playing, and some 8-year-old kid turns to you and says, why are you so fat? Ouch. Singeing pain pulsing through every nerve in your body. The tears begin to burn your eyes, but you don't want him to see you cry. Instead, you make a vow to yourself in that moment, consciously or unconsciously, I will never feel that pain again. Now, you're 10 years into a complex eating disorder, never having dealt with the original pain, but doing all that you can to avoid feeling that kind of humiliation again. This kind of stuff happens throughout life, but the heart of what I'm sharing with you is that those kinds of deep pains, the Lord says, in order to know the power of my resurrection, you have to let me into that really deep pain that maybe you've spent most of your life avoiding. Another example from that same a counselor who does work in this kind of deep healing. Imagine a different scenario. You're a little boy. You're playing outside, just as kids do. You fall down and you scrape up your knee. It's all bloodied up. You run to your father for comfort, for him to pick you up, hug you, tend to your pain. And as soon as you reach out for him, he sternly stops you in his tracks with his hand raised up against you. And with furrowed brow, he says, "No, dust it off. Real men don't cry." How stupid of you to cry, to need a hug or want comfort. You decide in that moment, "I never want to feel that pain of rejection again. I will never cry or ask for help again." So see, we've got so much stuff in our life that is bound up with painful moments like that, that we can end up spending a lifetime running away from. And that moment when we make the vow, "I'm never going to feel that pain again," we look for a shortcut for the healing. And it can be the perfectionism. It can be the way that you eat or don't eat. I mean, it can be anything. But that's just an example of the pain that the Lord says, in order for you to really fully experience the power of my resurrection, you have to let me get into that. And there in that deep place, like in the tomb, there, let me into that I might heal it and raise you up. That is the sharing in his passion, death and burial and resurrection that the Lord wants us to experience. Tonight, I share this with you because we don't want Easter to just be like a pretend happy moment. And we know it happens. You're here, you're celebrating, but maybe deep in your heart, there's stuff that you're like, I hear Father talking about this, but I know that I've not fully experienced the joy that I think I'm supposed to have as a Christian. And tonight, I want to plead with each of you, do not be afraid to let the Lord in to those deepest and most painful areas of your life. Don't be afraid to let him take you down into the tomb with you in order that he might raise you up. It's only in letting those areas be opened up to him that we will ever fully experience the power of his victory. It works this way in all kinds of areas: struggles with sin, difficulties in relationships, you name it. Tonight, do not be afraid to let the Lord in, that sharing in his passion and death and burial, by the power of his grace, you might also experience the new life he offers in his resurrection. Outwardly, the sharing in the Paschal mystery happens so beautifully and powerfully in the sacraments that we celebrate tonight. And in just a moment, we'll get ready to begin praying with those who are to be baptized tonight. This is an external sharing that conforms us to what Paul talked about in the reading tonight. But for each of you that are to be baptized this evening, it cannot just be an outward thing, but it must be that allowing the Lord into the deep parts of your heart. And so we'll move into our baptismal liturgy now as we invite up those to be baptized and pray that in the waters of baptism, you will die with Christ that you might be also raised up with him.